too near together. Never heard this before.
You read it at our wedding.
For the pillars of the temple stand apart, and the oak tree and the cypress grow not in each other's shadow. For if one tree tries to overshadow the other, then that one will wither and die.
Love Workshop with Vern and Craig, a wonderful comedy show for the whole family. Charming, entertaining, cosmic, informing, and got everything you need.
I love
Workshop with Vern and Craig.
Welcome to Focus on Rapping, where Craig and I get a chance to settle back, throw away the script, and really rap about something significant.
Really significant.
What's on our minds this week, Craig?
Well, this week I thought we'd rap about insurance, Vern, since I am an expert in the field, and it's probably... Wait a minute. Now, this is an important subject, insurance, and I am an expert in the field of insurance, and I'd like to rap about
it a little. Well, that's very sensible, Craig. An audience like ours can never really know too much about insurance. So let's suppose we start with a good working definition of the subject, Craig?
Well, okay. The thing is, with insurance, and this is a subject that I might emphasize here, I am a bit authoritative on. The thing is, with insurance, what you're looking at there is you're looking at little pieces of paper, basically, is what you get with insurance. You get little pieces of paper, and you send the insurance company little pieces of paper. Yeah. Now, the ones you send, they give you one piece of paper, the big one. That's called the policy. And then they send you a little paper every month that's actually what we'd call an insurance bill. And you send them back a little piece of paper, which is your check. Now, what you're giving them, your check represents money, and their policy represents money. So that's the exchange.
That's like, all like paper money.
The whole thing's paper. That's the whole business, and they have paperwork and forms and things. Basically, insurance is paperwork, is the basic on the subject.
Does it cost you real money?
Well, if you conceive that you could have gone to your bank and taken that check, let's suppose it was for $50 a month or $10 or whatever, and you could have gone to your bank and gotten cash, which is still only paper. I mean, it's not real money in that sense.
Yes.
In that sense, yes, it does cost you money, but from the insurance company's point of view, it never really cost you because, well, let's take the area of life insurance, because with fire insurance, you can't make a claim like, well, everybody's going to have his house burned down, or like with the car insurance, everyone's not going to have an accident. But life insurance is unique because you can actually say, or at least I can certainly, that everybody is going to die.
Yeah.
You get the idea there.
Yeah.
So it's the one type of insurance that people sometimes think they don't need. Well, I can assure them they're wrong, because they are going to die.
So you're just putting that money, that paper money, in the bank. Actually, you're transferring it from one bank to another bank, one step removed, that being the insurance company.
Right.
And they're just holding on to it for you and investing it wisely and taking care of it for you.
Everything that you need, they're taking care of for you.
Right. So it's just really a service to hold on to it so you don't spend it. Say you want to go out and buy that extra power saw or something you want.
Yeah, a lot of people would spend the money on liquor.
Yeah.
I know many, many people. They get paid on Friday. They go by these little taverns all around town. I don't mean just the city, other cities. The towns are typically dotted with them, and the people go in, and they spend probably as much in a single Friday visit to a tavern as they could have purchased a good policy for. And I don't mean some Mickey Mouse junk policy. I mean a really good insurance plan.
Yeah. So, in other words, instead of just pouring it down the drain, so to speak, they're giving it to the insurance company, and the insurance company is holding on to that money for them.
Keeping it safe.
With all their friends, their neighbors, it's all in the same kitty.
It's like in one big pot, you dump the money in.
Sure, and they're building buildings and
doing good
things. Financing things, and then later on, when you die...
When you will, believe me.
Yeah, when you die, then your wife, or your survivor, whoever it is...
Yeah, you leave the money to your brother.
Widow.
A lot of people... Well, some families fight, you know, brothers and sisters hate each other's guts, but you'll find, if you search around, you'll find an occasional family where they do love each other, and even if the guy, this is one of the things people say, well, I don't need any insurance because I'm not married. Crap on that noise.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, it wouldn't hurt a brother to leave it to his sister, or a sister to leave it to her father, or vice versa. I mean, I don't care if they're married or not. They can always use a little extra insurance.
Sure. Well, plus they're owning a part of a building or a subdivision or something else. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you look at any big office building in this city, and I don't care which city you're in right now, look at any big office building. I guarantee you that building was financed by an insurance company. You literally finance part of that building with your insurance premium. So if you've been smart enough to buy a big policy, you can tell that security guard he's fired and it's your building.
Try that at the tavern.
Yeah.
Try telling the bartender,
hey, get out. You know?
Take a walk, pal. Because
they'll kick you out.
Yeah, I mean, really, they'll take your money and throw you out.
Yeah, but you go down to the Del Webb building down here. And there's again, it doesn't matter which city this is in because there's always a Del Webb building in every town.
Yeah.
Go down to the Del Webb building and just say, hey, I am an insurance owner.
I have a policy.
If you wear a business suit, and you probably do if you own insurance, carry it right inside your little pockets they have inside the, behind the part where the little flower goes in the pocket, you know?
Yeah, inside pocket.
Yeah, the inside pocket. Keep your policy neatly. Don't let it get messy. Have a little plastic container for
it. I've seen the plastic sort of envelope.
Yeah. Show them the policy.
Yeah.
When people come over to your house, have it on the coffee table.
Yeah.
Show them who the hell you are.
Obviously, not every insurance company is going to be an owner of the Del Webb building.
No.
So it would make sense to me, if you're buying the policies, to find out what buildings they own and
check on them.
It's a free country. You know? Some people like different types of architecture, different types of prestige. You want to own a hotel, an office building, a terminal,
whatever you want,
an airline, whatever it is.
Like the other thing, if you own part of the airline, go out there occasionally, check on your property. If you bought a housing project or an apartment complex, you'd certainly go by and visit it once in a while.
Keep an eye on it.
It's the same basic thing. Like those things that says you own a piece of the rock, you know, and they show you that Prudential. They show you all those things that they financed.
Yeah.
If you have a policy with Prudential, find out which things they've invested in and go talk to the management people at those places.
Keep an eye on it.
You're hiring him, whether you know it or not.
I've seen a Prudential man. All right, he owns a Prudential policy. I know for a fact this man has a Prudential life insurance policy. It's a sizable policy. Here's a guy, he's paying so much a month out of his paycheck.
That's where it comes
from. And he's investing in, say, a building. Okay, say if Prudential owns a certain building. Now, I've seen this guy, I won't name names.
No.
He walks into the building, all right?
Yeah.
And he sees a piece of paper on the floor. But do you think he would...
Weird.
Yeah,
I know.
I mean, it's not funny, really humorous. It's really kind of sad because they don't have any pride of ownership. They've got the policy in their pocket. They walk into a building or whatever
they own, the
airline terminal or something.
They leave papers just strewn around and people put out cigarettes on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, you go out here to Sky Harbor Airport.
Okay.
And I live in Phoenix. And you go out here to Sky Harbor Airport.
I don't know which company owns Sky Harbor.
It doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
People that own insurance policies, and many people don't even bother to carry their policies with them.
Right.
They go traveling around the country, leave their policies at home, where it doesn't do them a damn bit of good, unless they're going to die that day, right?
Yeah.
The policy's at home. They don't show it to people. They have it tucked away in some drawer or a safe instead of flashing it around, which they should be. They're paying enough for it. If you went and bought something like a new car, you're paying $100 a month.
You carry the title with you. Carry the keys.
Show them to people. Here's the thing. Just like you're saying, they go in and they put out cigarette butts right on the floor of the airport terminal. It's disgusting.
I know.
That guy owns part of that airport. He wouldn't put them out on his carpet at home.
He's actually decreasing the value of his property.
That's the whole point.
I mean, it's not only that in financial terms, but it's just telling the rest of the world he doesn't care.
He has no pride.
He's got the policy in his pocket.
Yeah.
Somebody sees the policy.
He says, let's see your policy.
And he said, or he's holding it. He's carrying it around. He's looking at it, reading it. I've seen a lot of people reading their policies in the terminal waiting for a plane. And then they take a cigarette, like you say, throw it out on the carpeting, rub it in. Well, sure, it's that indoor-outdoor
carpet. Speaking of reading policies, just to give you an idea. Now, I don't know how many people in our audience right now are shopping around.
Yeah.
Just to give you some ideas of some tremendous values.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a company here, Life and Casualty, out of Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
Now, let's suppose that you want a life paid up at 65 plan, and you're 25 years old.
All right.
For $19.99 a year per thousand, you can snap it up. That means a $10,000 policy is going to cost you about $200 a year. That's a bargain.
Yeah.
That is a bargain.
For $10,000.
That's about $18 a month.
Yeah.
It's peanuts. I mean, we're talking about a $10,000 cash value policy. You can cash this plan in case you die later. You don't even have to die.
It would be equivalent. It would actually be equivalent to someone coming up to you and saying,
here's
hey,
free money,
buddy, do you want to buy the Brooklyn Bridge for $18.50 a month?
And be serious.
It's an action.
Durham Life out of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Now, this is a non-participating policy,
uh-huh.
which means there's no dividends. Here, a male age 25, for a 20-pay life, $11.67 per year per thousand. You're talking about $116 a year for a $10,000 plan. There's a lot of companies, Connecticut General,
yeah.
Canada Life, American United Life, Aid Association for Lutherans. This,
and these people all own buildings.
Yeah. These, there's 15 different, I haven't got time to list them all off. Paul Revere Life, National Life of Vermont, Mutual of New York, New York Life, Minister's Life and Casualty, Minnesota Mutual. These companies are there to serve people.
And people don't take advantage
of them. That's right. They're missing the boat. That's
they don't take advantage of them. And they could have a policy. Like for that one you mentioned, they're $11.50. They could have a policy in their pocket.
Sure. You don't. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. I'll tell you one thing you can do, seriously, because if you lapsing a policy means you quit paying for it. They don't take the policies back. They just don't cover you anymore. If the least you can do is find an agent that you like and can trust, somebody you can really relate to, okay?
Yeah.
Buy a plan.
Someone that serves the community.
Someone that serves the community and you feel you can relate to on a one-to-one basis. When you look that guy in the eye, you say to yourself, here's a man I can trust.
That's one thing that's very important. I've noticed that with most any insurance agent, bar none, there are a couple. Sure, there are a couple, 5% of the doctors, according to the AMA or Quack.
Even lawyers. There's some lawyers that are no good.
Yeah,
there's no good.
You're going to find some bums in every profession.
Sure.
But 95% of all, I mean, I'd have to say that as a rock bottom figure.
Yeah.
Of all insurance agents are active in the community. They help. I mean, you've seen the ads on TV. They aren't kidding.
No.
You know, these guys are out. They're building jungle gyms for the Boys Club.
I mean, like I said earlier, even some lawyers are bad. You'll even find an occasional lawyer who's a ripoff.
And how many lawyers?
Darn few. I mean,
how many lawyers are serving on the rural fire department, the volunteer fire department? These insurance agents, they're busy. I just wanted to say that about the agents because I've been impressed by, like I say, 95% of the insurance agents.
Yeah, most of them are good. There's a bad apple in every barrel. But the thing is, find yourself someone that you feel you can relate to. Buy a policy from the guy. When you get that policy back, if he's a good agent and you've bought a fairly substantial plan, you're going to get a plastic envelope, perhaps even monogrammed with your name on it.
They're clear, usually.
Yeah,
I've noticed.
At that point, you don't have to continue paying for the plan to keep the policy.
So you've got it.
You've got it. You carry it around. You can flash that little mother anywhere you go. Who's going to check? Who's going to say, well, sir, let's see if your policy is valid with that company? No one's going to say
that.
He'll carry it in your breast pocket, pull it out, show it to people, show off.
Sure.
Buy
why not? Be proud of it.
Rather than buying one policy and paying for it all year, buy one a month and lapse them off. Have 10 of them for your table.
Sure.
You could have little displays of them.
Spread them out, different kinds.
Sure.
Different kinds. And I think
some of these companies, like, they'll have different, some of them are really attractive-looking policies.
Yeah, I've seen, I'm telling you. Now, I don't mean to play favorites, but I've seen the State Farm Executive Protector. Executive Protector. It has a computer printout.
Yeah.
With, you know, those computer printout sheets with the bands across for the so you can read the type easily.
You know,
it prints out your whole financial picture.
Uh-huh.
You know, how much you make. It projects how much you're worth, how much you should be insured for. It's got the whole picture. And it has down on the bottom, I don't know whether a lot of people noticed or not, it has a list of all of the buildings and properties that State Farm owns.
That's amazing.
In your particular area.
That's amazing.
So you can
go to those companies.
And it has a little key on there. A little key and then a map of the city with like A, B, C, D, F like that. And you can drive to these buildings, these properties, you know, bowling alleys. They own a lot of different things.
Sure.
And walk in there with that policy, show that Executive Protector, and, you know, you're home free.
When you have a chance, like say you go into a bowling alley and you show them your policy.
Yeah.
You know what the reaction is going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, hey, the boss is here, you know?
Yeah, one of the owners is here.
Yeah.
You've seen people, like, in a restaurant, the owner walks in.
Yeah, they get
free drinks.
Free drinks
are going over. Same thing. You walk in. I'm serious. You walk in with your Executive Protector and hold it up in the bowling alley. Not being pretentious, but
you just flash it around.
Sure.
Maybe bend over, let it drop out.
Sure.
People go, oh,
like,
there's
the
guy who's an Executive Protector.
I mean, they may not give you a free line of bowling, but you think they're going to charge you for the shoes?
Hell no.
You're one of the owners.
That's right.
You know, what do they want to do? What do they make you aggravated?
No.
Have you lapsed your policy?
No way.
You know, and then where are they?
That's
insurance
right.
Company pulls out, and there they are with a bowling alley and
no
finance.
One to bowl. I hope you've got time for one more insurance tip, because we've got a letter here from a gal named Louise Beckman, who says, Dear Vern and Craig, I listen to your show with some regularity, and I cannot tell you how much your humor has affected my outlook on life. For example, I've only recently begun to develop a sensible insurance program for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to hearing your program, this was the furthest thing from my mind. Do you have any special insurance tips for a gal like me? Sincerely, Louise Beckman. Well, we do have some insurance tips for you, Louise, and I'm glad you asked. You could buy, just a minute, let me look in the book here. Now, here's Globe Life, Gulf Life, Hartford Life. Oh, no, that's not the company I have in mind for her.
What about Businessman's Assurance?
Businessman's Assurance.
Judging from the character of her letter.
Yeah,
and the
that's
way
the company
she
for her.
Seems like an intelligent girl. The way she expressed herself, I think Businessman's Assurance would be her logical choice.
Okay, Louise, let's just suppose that you're 25 years old. For $13.63 a thousand per year, you could buy a whole life policy with Businessman's Assurance. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say that would be about the right amount for her, Craig?
I think the price is right, and I think that the service is right, and I think the properties are right. Now, we discussed that before.
Businessman's Assurance, BMA owns, they own Lutz Pharmacy.
Lutz in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
They own, as a matter of fact, they own, I think, a good portion of that whole row of stores there.
Yeah.
The jewelry store and right on over to the market that's next mm-hmm. to it. And they also own the Walgreens at 16th Street in Van Buren.
That's they changed that drugstore at 16th uh-huh. Street in Van Buren. They own the building still.
Yeah.
But that is now.
They lease it out.
But you could go in there. I mean, the opportunities are.
They own O'Malley's. I don't know whether very many people know this or not, but they own O'Malley's outright. So, I mean, again, like we indicated before, it's not like you're going to be able to go in there and buy. You know, say I'd like 16 2x4s and expect to just walk out the door,
not
no charge.
Free, but you're going
to
get special concessions.
You're going to get the man at the saw is going to be there. He's going to cut those boards for you the way you want them. The people are going to give you a first-class level of treatment in there.
Say you need a keymate. I went into O'Malley's, it was about 3 months ago. I needed a keymate, a duplicate key. I already had. You have to take one key in to them.
Yeah,
you need a keymate.
Yeah.
But they'll make you copies of it. And, I mean, it was like I felt like I owned the place.
I know. I think that's the best. The best choice for her.
The simplicity of it is that she could die at any moment, and it's best to get the insurance before you die.
Yeah. And still own a piece of O'Malley's.
Yes.
And a Walgreens and Lutz.
Lutz.
Thanks for joining us on the Love Workshop this evening. I'm Vern.
I'm Craig.
That's us.
Vern and
Craig
Vern.
And Vern.